Sound of Hockey, episode 267.5. Darren Brown here at Darren Fun Brown on the X. Make sure to also follow us at @sound_hockey on the X. And hey, as long as we're talking social media, I thought I should let you know we are on TikTok now, which is just very exciting. So if you're on TikTok, pop on over and give us a follow. I think we're at sound.of.hockey, if I'm not mistaken. But if you search Sound of Hockey as users, you should find us. We've been doing some cool stuff over there. It's being led by our guy Cameron, who is running our WHL coverage too. So he's been doing some awesome stuff. So check it out. Okay, so the circus, as I mentioned in the last episode, is like, it was in town already, but now it's like really, really in town. The Winter Classic, it is officially here. All eyes are now shifting to that as the Seattle Kraken have finally finished out their calendar year with a big win on Friday over the Philadelphia Flyers, a 2-1 overtime thriller with Justin Schultz, the unlikely hero in that one. He gets the goal off of a nice pass from Oliver Bjorkstrand, who was playing in his 500th game. Bjorkstrand had assists on both goals. And, you know, the Kraken, they didn't take the lead. They didn't score first in this one, right? It was different from how things have been going on this winning streak, but they figured out a way to win. It was a tight, you know, tight checking, tough sledding kind of a game, but they figured it out. They got the power play goal from Vince Dunn relatively early in the third period, and then Schultz gets the game winner in overtime. Joey Decord, another great game. He had a huge save early in that game where the puck kind of awkwardly popped up in the air, and he made a good hard push to his left and shut down Sean Couturier. So the Kraken are rolling, and it is wild to even think about that. And I wrote about that in Three Takeaways this morning that, you know, you think about the fact that they were on this 8-game point losing streak, I should say. They flip a switch, turn it into a 7-game positive. And if you told us at the end of that 8-game point streak that they were going to be at 500 here going into the Winter Classic on a 8-game point streak and a 4-game winning streak, I would never have believed you. And so look where they are now. They're 2 points, I should say, out of a playoff spot again. So it's looking like they're, you know, getting themselves back into contention. They really have figured it out. They got Andrei Burakovsky back in the lineup last night. He had one pretty egregious turnover, but other than that, I thought he looked really good. Interesting makeup to the lines. At least initially, they had kept their top three lines completely intact, which I had asked Hextall before the game on Friday what he was going to do when guys started getting back in the lineup, because he wasn't really confirming that that Burakovsky was going to play. So yeah, it was interesting to see him start in the fourth line, but then he kind of got shuffled with several different players. I thought on the whole, he had a really effective night. Again, he had that one turnover in the first period, but Joey Decord bailed him out. So, really nothing hurt there. Huge win though. I mean, you think about just what this means as we now do roll into the Winter Classic. The fact that this team is actually a competitive team, it means a lot for the pomp and circumstance around this game and the buzz. The stadium is officially sold out now, so it should be an incredible event. And on that topic, Steve Mayer, the chief content officer, has been in town making the rounds in media, but he was nice enough to give us about 20 minutes of his time here, which I think y'all are going to really enjoy. If you've heard him on other podcasts or interviews before, you know he's a great talker, but I think we got some really unique and fun stuff from him. So I think you're going to enjoy this. Wanted to get it out to you right away here in advance of the Winter Classic. We have some other interviews lined up. I think we're probably going to post them after the Winter Classic is my guess, or maybe like on the morning of. I don't know. We'll see. But in any case, we are very excited for this event. I think y'all are going to love what the NHL has put together. I think you're going to love this game. And hopefully it's a good one. I'm really looking forward to it. So hope we'll get to see some of you there. In the meantime, here he is, Steve Mayer. Enjoy. We now welcome onto Sound of Hockey a very special guest in conjunction with the 2024 Discover Winter Classic. We are thrilled to welcome on the Chief Content Officer for the NHL, the National Hockey League, Mr. Steve Mayer. Thank you so much for joining us, Steve. Really appreciate your time.
What a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
First question here. So I know Sir Mix-a-Lot. We got a local act coming to town.
Yep.
For the big Winter Classic, and I saw some kind of caginess in terms of what he's going to be performing, which tells me it may not be Baby Got Back. But if it were, would you have considered maybe having him just change the lyrics to We Like Big Pucks and We Cannot Lie? Did you ever think about something like that?
Of course.
Yeah.
Your inclination is probably spot on.
Okay.
But I will also say what he is going to perform, especially for an introduction, we have changed the lyrics.
Oh.
Yes, we have changed the lyrics. I will give you that much information and then we'll move on. But, you know, listen, we wanted to really play into, as we do everywhere when we play one of these outdoor games, you know, our first round of, you know, who we're going to go after are the local stars. And, you know, I'll sit here and readily admit we went to, you know, some of those huge stars that you would imagine would probably be our first choices. I'm not sitting here and telling you, no, we went right to blah, blah, blah. You know, there's in all these events, there's availability issues, there's budget issues, there's all of the above. But we're really happy with who we have as the lineup. And I'll tell you, Sir Mix-a-Lot has gotten quite the response.
People are pumped about that.
Oh, man. Yeah. We thought it would be fun. And we've seen the reaction, and again, you read social media, you hear people talking, and then you get to meet and talk to the performer himself. It's just awesome, and it's going to be a lot of fun. We think it's a great tone setter, because you're going to see him right from the very beginning of the day, and he's been working with us. It's just been great to work with. Listen, we want to have fun with these games, and it's all about the energy and the attitude, and Seattle is a fun place, and Sir Mix-a-Lot is fun.
So one of those performers is the Head and the Heart, which, and I'm not sure you're aware of this, but Head and the Heart, the bass player, actually plays hockey. And about 8 to 10 years ago, he performed on maybe Jimmy Fallon or one of the late night shows wearing a Seattle Thunderbirds jersey. And so then they auctioned it off. Anyway, so Chris is a somewhat of a friend of mine, and we've crossed paths quite a bit. But I was so excited to see Head and the Heart because at the time, right, he appears on Jimmy Fallon and he's wearing a Seattle Thunderbirds jersey, and that we didn't have a lot to talk about. So it's made me really reflect this week on how far we've come, and sometimes I get teared up thinking about it. But every year when the Winter Classic would come around, the discussion would be, oh man, could Seattle host a Winter Classic? This was before we were awarded a team, right? And I mean, I think T-Mobile Park is amazing, and for various reasons, it's the perfect spot. But did you ever evaluate thinking about like Husky Stadium or even you know, where the Seahawks play as an option, knowing weather is a variable?
Yeah, so I've been very open. We went to Husky Stadium. We spent a few visits there. We also went to Lumen. And let's go back. You know, for any of these games that we do visit every stadium in town, especially for places that we've never been before. Just for our purposes, we want to evaluate. I will say here, man, and we now thank so, every day we thank our lucky stars that the fact that we picked this place, because the weather is a factor, and you know we've seen it all. We've built in snow, we've built in rain, we've built in hot, we've built in cold. But, you know, too much rain and we're screwed.
Right.
I'm telling you, we might not play a game. And so when we were evaluating, and that Husky Stadium, wow, that's awesome.
It's awesome, huh?
It's beautiful. And we went, we saw Washington football. Lumen, NFL stadiums are always going to be a problem. We're not scared of them. We've played in NFL stadiums, but during the regular season, you got to get the local team, and in this case, the Seahawks, you've got them to agree to move to maybe 3 weeks of their season. And I'll tell you, it used to be okay. Now it's getting harder because of the 18 weeks.
Right.
And it's a little weirder. Sometimes it's like you play your back in the day of 16 weeks. You would end up playing up until week 14 and then 15 and 16, you'd be on the road. And these teams are really competitive, and they don't want to play their last two games
right
on the road. So we knew that the football stadium was always going to be hard. We have a great relationship with the NFL, and they would have helped us. But then we came here, and the roof, this is awesome.
Yeah.
Like, I cannot believe when this was built. 1998? Like, no way. This looks like it was built like 10 years ago. It's so new. It's so fresh. And it saved us. It saved our you-know-what. I mean, it rained so much here in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
We would have built ice, it would have melted. If we would have built it again, it would have melted. It would have been really hard. and the roof like kept us on a regular schedule, and we're thrilled that we're here.
Yeah, and like, you know, we've been able to walk around a couple days, and the set is unbelievable.
Well, thanks.
Right,
thanks.
And it's incredible. But what I look at is from like a project management standpoint. When did you start like concepts or early designs and features and it, like, and you have so many stakeholders involved, right? Because you have the Turner, right? And you have the teams that probably have want to say, and maybe there's some player impacting things that you need to kind of be aware of. But like, when does this process start for an event like this?
It starts the second we want to come to a certain city. I mean, we're off and running creatively. And to your point about stakeholders, we pick the stakeholders that are going to end up building it out. Uniquely, here we have a company that we work with a lot that is from Seattle. They're called Hotop Design. And so we went to them and said, let's do this. You know, it's in your backyard. You deserve it. You know, we had done the expansion draft. The expansion draft was great to clearly understand the way the Kraken think and what they had, their vision that they had for their franchise. They've really stuck to it. There's like a little bit of a story, a theme, and we appreciated that. And we knew it a little, you know, we knew enough that we figured, okay, we could start sort of creating what the field could look like. To your point about stakeholders and the amount of work and project management, our event team is amazing. Like I'm telling you, I put them up against anyone, and each of them have a role. Like there's the sort of creative concepting that goes and begins in one area, and then it moves to the next area where it becomes much more technical. Like, okay, I have an idea to do this, but will it fit? Does it make sense? Where does it go? What's the angle it should be at? There, and there's people that just do that, and they're so technical, and they're to the inch. And then you have another group, which is our event operation team, which then puts in motion, all right, how much is this going to cost? And seriously, that's never fun for me because my ideas are sometimes not very cost effective. And somebody's got to put me in line and say, oh, we can't do that. Like, we don't have the budget. And then you go back to the drawing board and you sort of do revision 2, 3, 723, you know, and you just keep on evolving until you get to the point where, okay, we're ready to go. And the uniqueness is, and you guys saw it, we put out a rendering, and when we finally then see it and it looks like the rendering, I think that's the coolest thing. I mean, I do. I go, that's so cool that this was the vision, and it actually looks like that.
And this is the thing that I was thinking about yesterday from walking down in the field, because there's so many little pieces there. Like there's a lot of rope, for example. There's a ton of rope like sitting on the ground, and like one of them was a slightly different color than the other one. And I'm like, you know, I wonder how much of this stuff, when they finally actually get it here and put it out on a baseball field for the first time, how much of it do they have to pivot and say, like, you know what, this doesn't quite work, we're going to get rid of this? Like, does that ever happen where you're like, just before, like, no one's going to notice that it's gone? You know what I mean? Like, there's got to be some of that stuff, I would imagine.
All right. So there's so much of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't stop until we're done.
Yeah.
So I'll give you an example. The batter's eye, which is the Kraken eye.
Yeah.
If you look at
I didn't make that connection. That's good. That's good. The crack.
Right,
well, that's good.
All right.
Okay. I should have connected that, but I didn't.
I am here to help. I'm here to guide you as we take you around the field. So the Kraken eye, look at the rendering. All right.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be one example.
Yeah. Okay.
So the Kraken eye went up. We put it up the other day, and I'll be very honest. I was like, that looks terrible.
Mm.
It's not what we thought it was going to look like. And there's a few reasons for it. But we all got sort of in a room and we started to talk about, all right, how do we make it look better? We didn't want to lose it. And that's always sometimes an easy way to go, to your point. Ah, you've got the rope. It's not the right color. Let's just lose it. You could do that. Boom, done.
Yeah.
But many times we're like, all right, how do we save that? Is there a way to save it? Do we paint the rope a different color? Oh, sure. Then we're good. So you'll watch, and it's good. You can take a peek right now, and you can look out. We are gradually trying to change what that eye look like by adding certain pieces that we think are unique and interesting, and we'll make it work when at one point it didn't work. And sometimes you don't see it until you see it. Like, you can have vision all day long and say, hey, wouldn't it be cool? Wouldn't it be cool? But until you physically see it, you really can't make a judgment. So we tweak until the moment we play hockey. Like, I'm telling you, my people know this. Like, we're watching everything. Like, the graphics have to be perfect. We see little things, and we send people out. And you might notice now, like, what is that guy doing? That's because something that should have been facing this way was facing the wrong way, and we got to turn it.
Yeah.
And we don't stop until it's over. But that's the fun part. Like, yeah, it is, because we know, you know, you just can't be satisfied. You always got to try to make it as good as it can be and better than it can be, all the way until we're done.
Yeah. And you, I mean, I know that you oversee a lot of different events. It's not just the Winter Classic. What are some of the other events you do? The All-Star Game.
All-Stars, Stadium Series, mm-hmm. Draft, Awards, Stanley Cup Final, Global Series, yeah. The events in the Global Series, all the international events.
Yeah.
We have an international strategy team that decides where we're going. Once we go, you know, our team puts the events on. Press conferences, the simple, like a press conference. Oh, but no, we take a lot of care into what it looks like, where it is, who's invited. So we feel like everything needs to feel bigger, big, bigger. That usually, or could have been a press release. Why is that not a television moment? Mm-hmm. So we work with our television partners. You're going to see what we're doing for All-Star. What used to be a series of press releases, the announcement of the teams, are now going to be shows. Like, we're working with our broadcasters. We're doing full-blown All-Star announcement shows. We've got celebrities. We're doing so much differently. Everything's got to feel big, you know, and everything's related to everything else as well. And, you know, we take a lot of sort of pride in that. But, you know, that's the fun part, too, is just coming up with the next idea. Yeah.
Well, and on that topic, I wanted to ask you, do you have, over the years of doing this and all the different events you've worked on, I imagine you've had a lot of exciting creative ideas that have come up. What's one that you still to this day are like, we should have done that one and it didn't happen, one that you really loved? Can you think of one?
I don't know whether it's we should have done that. I everything is always still in the back burner.
Mm-hmm. Like, okay.
You know what I mean? Like, we have ideas that, like, just because it's been no up until now doesn't mean it's no, you know, 5 years from now,
yeah.
You know? And so you never say die. You never throw anything out, you know, but when it comes to certain events, you know, that's the fun part. Like, listen, in anything we do, whether you're coming up with questions for this, like, you want to always be creative. You want to always, you always want to be thinking. And again, there's a few things that I absolutely, before I'm done, want to do. I work for a gentleman who is amazing and who thinks big and who wants and pushes us to think big, and the commissioner, you know, and he's really always saying, what do we got next? What do we got next? And we want to continue to do things that not only catch hockey fans, their eyes and their attention, but sports fans. Like, it's really crowded out there. Every night, you know, you're all fighting for eyeballs. And there's so much. Like, look at what's coming up on Winter Classic weekend. There's a million events. I mean, there's bowl games. There's NFL. There's so much. How do you somehow cut through the clutter? It's just, you know, it's hard. And so you got to do things that sort of, you know, get people's attention. And that's what we always strive to do. Listen, I'll be honest with you when you talk about, I want to do more Lake Tahoe games.
Oh, I was just going to bring that up.
Yeah, I do. Now, there's others at the league that don't feel that way. And if he was here and sitting next to me, the commissioner would say, we want to play in front of 50,000 fans. Yeah. We do. But, you know, I do think that's a way in this environment to get people's attention. And we have some really good ideas to do future games in cool places. So we'll see. That would be something I think is interesting down the line.
Yeah, and I think about the Lake Tahoe game. I lived in Reno for a while and skied in Tahoe a lot, but you took such a gamble with it, right? Like, you know, I sometimes I think the league doesn't get enough credit for taking these big bets and really changing it, because we're also like fans are tend to be traditional and minded and want it like the good old days. But the reality is like the world has changed. And, you know, one thing I think about when the NHL was evaluating coming here, I always thought tying into the tech community would be an option or provide some opportunities for expansion as far as like ideas. Mm-hmm. Has that materialized yet, or is it early on? And not to take anything away from our good friends at SAP, right? But, you know, certainly there's so many creative minds here that don't take no for an answer and think everything's possible. And I'm wondering if that's ever happened.
Well, listen, I think you're seeing it in our regular season coverage, in our coverage. You know, our NHL Edge is now, you know, we've got our website dedicated to it. We're doing so much more with puck and player tracking / the Edge in our game coverage. You know, we are leaning into innovation and technology. You know, we've done the Big City Greens, you know, which we loved, and
that
we're going
to super cool.
We're going to do that. And we're going to do more. We're going to announce, you know, more before the end of this season in that space. You know, so we are leaning into technology. And did we think about it for a game like this? Oh, yeah, but it's a one-off, and I don't know. Like, it's a lot harder in a one-off situation. But you know, listen, technology, you better be, you know, on the cutting edge. Again, like going back to, you know, the clutter, like that's a way to impress people, to get people to lean in. And it's also a great way now to compare our players. Like from a stats and informational standpoint, you can really look at comparing players in a really creative way. And our sport has a lot of speed and some of those factors that, you know, do play into that. But, you know, we did a bit of that when we played in San Jose, where the game and the way we made the field look were a little more into the tech side. Here, we thought about it for a few seconds, then we didn't lean in, but we are leaning in terms of, you know, regular season and stats.
All right. We are out of time, so we don't want to take up any more of your time. One more pitch for you, though. What about Bowie Got Back? You think about that?
By the way, that's very interesting.
Mm-hmm. You could just have Bowie out there, like,
you know what?
You know the dance that he would do for that.
Vivid.
You know what? You're not going to sue us if we do it.
Oh, did I just get it right?
No.
Okay. No,
it's
my pivot.
I might make a pivot.
That's a free idea. I'm
it's
putting
free?
That's free from me. That's my gift for.
I like it.
Yeah,
I like it.
Our podcast,
in fact, so. I like it so much that hey, what are you doing? we need some ideas for MetLife Stadium, which is coming up in a month or so. No, listen, that's a good one.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you. All right, Steve Mayer, thank you so much for your time. Really,
and Bowie does
really
head back.
He does, and he's got some moves too. That was always part of his shtick, was he was going to have some moves when he came in. So.
Okay.
All right. Thank you for your time, Steve.
Yeah, you got it. We'll